The reading is from Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 25 to 34. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
We've been thinking about that a little bit as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. Here it is, familiar, perhaps, but I wonder how much we really understand of it. This is the prayer given by Jesus as the pattern, the model of how we communicate with our God in heaven, in all aspects of life. Which is why the prayer begins with this invocation, this greeting to our Heavenly Father. We need to recognize who it is that we are talking to in prayer. But from that greeting to the Father, there comes the main content of the prayer, and we've recognised that there are six different petitions that come, six pleas that we make within our prayers. And just a cursory examination of that prayer reveals, reveals to us that if you look at it, you can almost divide the prayer into two. And in the first half, there's one word that characterizes what those petitions are about. And in the second half, there's one more word that characterizes what they're about. In the first half, that word is your name, your kingdom, your will. And in the second half, the word is us. Give us, forgive us, lead us. Jesus is teaching us through this whole prayer that as we approach our God, we need to give our attention to his concerns first. Those things that really matter, that he knows we need to focus on. And when we've done that, then we move on to those things that concern us. If you like, we start in heaven and we move down to earth. We start with God and then we turn things to us. Well, we've already covered the first half of that prayer, the first three petitions. If you haven't heard those, then they're available. Have a listen. I really do think there are some incredible gems that have come out from them. And today we're going to move on to this second half. These three petitions, which, well, frankly, if we're honest, these are the things that often dominate our prayer to God because it's about us. These are the things that we often say, particularly this first, the fourth petition in total. Give us today our daily bread. I want to look a little bit more at it. Just look at those three petitions. And as you look at them, our daily bread, forgive us our debts, lead us not into temptation. Notice that they cover three things. Provision, pardon, and protection. Provision, pardon, protection. Doesn't that take care of basically the whole of life's needs? Just think about it. Provision takes care of your present. Pardon takes care of your past. Protection takes care of your future. And it's not just in that context that this prayer is all-encompassing. There's more than that. Provision, pardon, protection also takes care of the whole of our personality. Provision takes care of our body. Pardon takes care of our soul. Protection takes care of our spirit. That's why this prayer is so crucial. It's why we must take this so much more seriously than just a prayer that gives us comfort and familiarity because we roll it off the tongue and it just comes out in communion services and so on. This is the pattern that God has given to us for all of our communication with Him because it covers all things, all aspects of life. And so we're going to begin today by looking at just the first of those. Give us today our daily bread. What is it that is really asking for? This word bread, what does it really mean? It means nothing actually much more complex, the word itself, than ordinary bread, stuff we eat. Just plain bread. But you'll be aware, I'm sure, that in Scripture, bread often means much more than just the literal food that we take in. It's also a symbol, and it's a symbol for the material needs that are our physical needs in life. So bread, as part of the Lord's Prayer, is actually not just seeking the food that we eat, but it's the kind of, not just the kind of bread, if you like, that you slice, stick in a toast and put beans on, but the bread that literally covers every part of our physical, material need of life. That's what Jesus is referring to. That's what we're bringing to God when we come to Him. Everything. Now, some would look at it and say, hang on, shouldn't there be something else as well? Isn't there a deeper spiritual meaning to this term bread? Surely we're talking also about the bread of life, Jesus Himself. Well, many in the past have said that that is the case, and we need to be thinking about the bread, which is the communion table, that we need to pray to God that we have access to. But I'm going to suggest the reason why we often think about it in that spiritual context is that people struggle with the idea that a prayer of this magnitude, this importance, this reverence could have within it, could possibly have within it, a petition of something so mundane as bread. But actually, that's the point. That's the very point that Jesus is making. He's saying something else to us. He's trying to say to us that we need to recognize that all aspects of life, including the most mundane, are things that we have access to because of our reliance and dependence on God. All blessings come from Him. All of it. And we need to recognize that as part of our prayer. Everything, all material things, can come into that conversation that we have with God. None of those things lie outside the realm of prayer. That's the point Jesus is making here. And recognizing alongside that, that when we pray, give us today our daily bread or whatever the specific request is, we're recognizing that God is the provider and we are reliant on Him. So this is not just a prayer request. It's actually an invitation to see the whole of our human experience, our life, our existence in His eyes. We're not just spiritual beings, we're flesh and blood as well, and we need to take all those things to him. So if that's what the petition is actually about, how do we go about praying it? Well, I've got four words for you. Four words that speak about the attitude with which we come and ask for anything of God. You can imagine, there are so many individual things that constitute that bread that we would ask of God. And we can't possibly cover them all, but we can cover the attitude that I hope will be a blessing to us. And the first of these is our attitude, which is gratitude. Gratitude. As we bring our daily material needs to the Lord in prayer, and in the consequence, recognize that those good things come from him, so we are appreciative and we say, thank you. We extend our appreciation to him. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, wrote these words. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." With thanksgiving. Nearly 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote about some of the key things that are core of the Christian faith. He was writing about the Creed, he wrote about the Ten Commandments, he wrote about the Lord's Prayer. It's called the Small Catechism. And in it, his words for this petition, "Give us today our daily bread," were as follows. He said, "God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving, to recognize where it comes from and give thanks." And you might note, incidentally, that his definition of daily bread was this. I'll read the whole list to you. "Everything that has to do with the support and the needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbours, and the like." And when he says "and the like," I think he basically meant anything else he'd not written down so far. Wow. But do we see God as having provided in all of those things? What a huge list. But these are the very things that Jesus invites us to take to the God in that prayer that we so easily take for granted. And in the process, to be thankful for God's provision in it. I wonder, do we register that as we pray in all our normal prayers? Do we register that and thank God for all of these things? Or do we take them for granted? Isn't it easy to think to yourself, well, hang on a second. I'm the one who walked to Tesco to buy the food that was paid for with my money, that I worked long hours to earn. I provided it, really. Or you might think to yourself, and hang on a second, I live in a country, Britain, where, like most countries in Europe at least, there is great social security support. There's a network to catch us if we fall through the system. Also, there is a health service that's brilliant and that provides for our medical needs. Where's God in that? If ever the enemy's knocking on your door and there is just that hint of temptation to think those things, just think this. Thank God for the strength, the energy, the skills, the intellect that gave you the ability to earn a living, earn the money that paid for you to go to Tesco to buy the food to put on your table and to eat. And think about the fact that, yes, We live in a country that has a great deal to offer, but let's thank God that we live in this day and this age, in this nation, where there is still an element of compassion in our society and government, where in the main we provide for those who are struggling, and we have a health service that does take care, and we have people who've been provided who have the intellect and the skills and are willing to offer them, and nurses to care, though they're not paid very much, in the process. What a lot we have to thank God for. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 10, we read, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Well, good land, in a sense, is all of those things that enable anything that we benefit from physically, materially. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, even that mighty, talented King David said these words as he was speaking to his God. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." This is not a prayer just to be prayed because we're hungry and need a meal. This is about being grateful to God for all the blessings that God gives to us. That's why we sang the second hymn, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And we begin to realize that that's what God has given. Our whole perspective and our hearts of thankfulness just lift us from the place we're in. Gratitude. The second word I want to give you is contentment. Contentment with what God has provided or will provide. The clue comes from the petition itself and the final word, bread, as we've already kind of hinted at. We're asked and invited to pray for our daily bread. Interesting, isn't it? We're not praying for roast beef, roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding, all the trimmings, or toffee pudding, sticky toffee pudding, even worse, with fresh cream and caramel topping, and maybe Oreos sprinkled over the top. I've been on holiday, what can I say? That's not what we're asked to pray for. We're asked to pray for bread. That's important. It is a prayer about need, not greed. And Jesus invites us to pray for our needs. And part of that means trusting that God knows what those needs are. And trusting that he knows what's best. And those needs will change for different people over time in different situations in different countries. This day, many of us feel we have needs and we are bringing our needs before God. In Syria, I believe today, people will be bringing their needs before God and they will be different. And God knows what they are. And we need to trust him. The prayer is an invitation to bring our needs, not our wildest dreams, and to build up our wealth portfolio into something very special. Bread. Let me be clear about something, however. There is nothing wrong with wealth. God blesses people with wealth. It's not the wealth or money that's the issue. It's the love of money, which is the root of much evil. And I think Jesus illustrates that point really very well, and especially the way he had meals and the way he fed people. Just think about it. Jesus was willing to meet with the rich, the famous, the wealthy. He was happy to go to lavish feasts and festivals, and he frequented them. But when Jesus provided meals himself, they tended to be rather simple. Okay, when he did a miracle, like the feeding of the 5,000, there was a lot of food, but it was simple. When Jesus cooked for his disciples, he handled very simple food. It tended to be bread and baked fish. These verses in Proverbs might just help us to sense a balance in this prayer. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of the Lord. What wisdom! What a beautiful attitude to bring to our petitions before God. Lord, don't make me too rich or too poor, but give me what you know is just enough, and I will be content with that. Contentment. The third word, attitude, is confidence. Confidence in the Lord to provide. And there's another really significant word in this that we need to take note of, is our inspiration for this. And it's that word, daily. Give us today our daily bread. Daily. This is a prayer that doesn't look to the future with fear and trepidation and uncertainty. It looks to today, our needs today, right here, right now. Literally, for us on this morning, August 25th, we look at this day. That's what this prayer is fundamentally about. There's one interesting thing, isn't there, about human beings. Have you noticed? We're good at certain things, and one thing we're incredibly good at is worrying. Are you good at worrying? I'm good at worrying. I do it really, really well. And there are things that we think about, and we take our minds, and we spin, and we can't sleep. And I'm going to do that. What's going to happen? Do you know when we worry, what we're actually saying is, we're forgetting that God has promised to provide, and we're saying, "Lord, we don't really trust you. I need to work this out. I need to know." A good friend of mine said that worry is defined as unholy thinking. It's thinking without God being in it. And that was the experience of the children of Israel. Do you remember that occasion in the wilderness? Exodus chapter 16 tells the story. The children of Israel had been released from Egypt. They'd gone through the desert. They'd come to the Red Sea. They'd been released from the potential captivity of the Egyptian army chasing them. And yet, after this great miracle, they started grumbling. They're moaning. They're in the middle of the desert and they're saying to themselves, "Why did you bring us out here? Moses, what are you doing? At least in Egypt, we had food. I don't care about the miracles. We don't want to die of starvation in this place. Aren't human beings interesting? Aren't we interesting? Don't we have a short memory of the astonishing things that God has done for us?" So it was with God's people. And so God told Moses to prepare the people. And he said to them, "I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide food. And it will come in the form of," I was going to say mail. That's not right. Electronics are in my head. "Quail and manna." You see how I get them confused. Quail and manna. Quail were the birds that were going to fly down at night and be on the ground in the morning. And then manna, well, that would come as the dew disappeared next morning. And it would leave behind this quaver-type, bread-type stuff that's unique. Manna tastes like bread or honey. But the quail and the manna came with very specific instructions. They were to go out every day and they were to get just as much as they needed for themselves and their family, but no more. If they got more than they needed, then the manna would rot and maggots would taint the quail. And the only day that that didn't apply was the day before Sabbath, which was supposed to be a day of rest, and then they could take 2 days' worth. But if they otherwise got more than that, they would end up with worm-infested, rotten, mouldy mess. There's a lesson in it. God is willing to supply our needs, but on a day-to-day basis. The lesson was really simple. If God promises that he will meet your needs every day, then that includes tomorrow. So why do we look to tomorrow and think, how am I going to do this? What's going to happen? We worry, don't we? We need to trust God. And that was the lesson that Jesus taught in the passage Lorinda gave to us earlier. Why do you worry about life? Food, body, clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap. And look how your Heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you much more precious? Which of you can add a single hour to your life by worrying? Look at the lilies of the field. How amazingly dressed they are. Even Solomon, in all his splendor, wasn't dressed like them. And he goes on and says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, but for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the case? You know, in a day, in a society where we have insurance policies to cover just about everything. We have insurance policies to cover our homes, our cars, our pets, our phones, our holidays, travel, our church buildings, our life. In that day, in a day where we have a freezer in most homes that is so stocked with food, we probably don't need to go shopping for weeks. In a land where we have a social security system that will catch you if you fall, where we have a hospital system that will treat you if you have an illness, it can be so easy to feel that we don't have to trust God daily for anything. But I want to just remind you that life is uncertain. We have been reminded of that this morning. And if you're not sure about that, ask someone who's been involved in that car accident. Ask somebody who's had that dreaded news about receiving treatment for cancer. Ask someone who, even a couple of years ago, thought they were in a job for life until the economic downturn came. Life is uncertain, more so than we might sometimes imagine. Well, we need to be responsible. God has given us organization to do things, to plan. And I want to encourage you to plan by all means for life. But let's be clear, planning is not the same thing as worrying. And we need to get that balance. This prayer challenges us to take one day at a time, being confident, confident that God will provide daily. Which brings us to the last word that I want to share. And the final attitude, I'm going to suggest, screams out at us from this, from the tiniest of all the words within this petition. That little word, us. This petition doesn't say, give me my daily bread. It says, give us our daily bread. And the word I want us to put up as our last attitude is generosity. Generosity towards those who are less fortunate. In this age of individualism and self-interest, this prayer invites us to remove selfishness and so pray for the needs of the community. The community and what lies beyond. So it's a petition that invites our prayers to look outward, to be bolder and bigger, to see what is happening around us and pray for those things. It invites us and to take ourselves out of the narrow focus about me and my woes and look to those situations of others. And when we do that, when we see that diverse community, which is all the people all around us, it opens our eyes and puts certain things into context. The world says, look after number one. Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Do you remember the words, the warning, in fact, of James about our faith being absolutely real? He's speaking about the gap that exists between our ideals, even kind words, and actually putting them into action. In James chapter 2, we read this. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? I believe that applies absolutely to our prayers and our times of prayer with God as well. Because prayer is where we take action to ask God for what we need. And if we just think about our own situations, we're not showing that loving, faithful spirit to our community. As we pray for the genuine needs of others, what God will do is he will remind us of how fortunate we are. And it will have a tendency to put our own little woes into focus. May these four words just help us to recognize what really going to God and asking him for anything is all about. May we pray with gratitude for all the many blessings that God has poured upon us. May we pray with contentment for whatever God will give to us and has already given to us. May we pray with confidence that he will provide daily. And may we pray with a generosity for those who are much less fortunate than we are. May God help us to put this into practice. Heavenly Father, as we have looked at this example of our wonderful Saviour and how he invites us to approach you, Father, would you help us? Help us to see your heart, even in the prayers of need that we bring. Father, may we look to you. May we ask with thanksgiving in our hearts. May we see that blessing. May we see the whole of life as being something we need to bring before you. Teach us to come and ask of you, we pray. And teach us to have that request from eyes that are turning all around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.